My name is Barbara John, and I am the director of HSD, Chamber of Commerce, Switzerland, Czech Republic. For the last year, I have been inviting our members and other personalities from the Swiss-Czech business environment to the studio for interviews. This podcast gives me the possibility to introduce new members, to discuss specific topics with representatives of our members, and to communicate with our members and friends virtually, something that we were forced to learn during the last months. Our bilateral Chamber of Commerce that celebrates its 30th anniversary in 2021 is here to help companies from both countries, from Switzerland and the Czech Republic, with their business activities, to connect people and companies, and to organize events. The events can be seminars, workshops, conferences, but also social events such as informal networking, Christmas gala dinner, golf tournament, and others. Many of these events we do organize in cooperation with our members and also with their support. We are also very closely working together with the Swiss Embassy in Prague and with the Swiss Business Hub Central Europe of Switzerland Global Enterprise. We do have excellent relationships with other bilateral chambers of commerce here in Prague, with associations in Czech Republic, in Switzerland, and also with the Czech Embassy in Bern. Are you interested in knowing more about our activities? Then listen to our podcast, attend our events. You are very welcome. And you can find more details on www.hsd.cz. Most of the time, I invite new members to the podcast. But as a matter of fact, I would like to give all our members the opportunity to be guests in the HSD podcast. Often we know the name of the company, we know the representatives of the company, but we do not have a clear picture of their current activities, of their services or products. Also, our members are innovative and they develop new products, new technologies and services. And of course, we would like to know all about them. This could be the case also with today's guest, with Andreas Ulzhofer. He is well known to many of our listeners. He has been a member of HST since 2006, I found out. And Andreas is one of the two founding partners of the law firm UEPA. Welcome, Andreas. It is a great pleasure to have you as a guest in the studio today.
Thanks very much, Barbara. It's very nice that I can be here with you today. And I'm curious what questions you might ask.
Well, we can start with personal questions regarding you as a person. You have been in Prague for many years. How many exactly?
I arrived in Prague 27 years ago, in fall 1994, actually, and my first day in my first job ever after university began October 1st, 1994.
Oh, so you remember how it was when you arrived here?
Yes, and probably despite many others you interview, I needed quite some time to fall in love with the beautiful city of Prague. Now I am, and I do, not to be misunderstood, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, and I have no plans to leave this country again. Also because my daughter has only a Czech passport and lives in Prague as well. But it took me quite some time to get accustomed to this. You know, I left Heidelberg, where I studied law after I graduated from the Faculty of Economics of the University of Mannheim, and it was my first real job. So I left all my friends behind, and I came to Prague, which in the mid-90s was dynamic already, maybe even more, a little bit more dynamic than today. But it was not so easy. I didn't speak the language. And despite the fact that I speak a few other languages, they are all of Roman origin. And it was difficult to get accustomed. It was difficult to find decent food, except of course of excellent Czech food, but that I didn't want every day. So it wasn't that international, and that developed, of course, and it couldn't have been as it is today. Today it's a lovely place. At that time it was beautiful as well, but it was a lot different. The changes in this city, in this country, are really remarkable.
I know what you're talking about. I went through the same. But it means, so you had all your professional career in Prague, in the Czech Republic?
That is true. Honestly, if I wouldn't have met my first wife, who happened to be, or is still, of course, Czech, I probably would work as a criminal defense lawyer in the Heidelberg area, where I had a very good job offer, which I got right after my second exam. But then, yeah, things changed.
It's interesting. Many of my guests come with a similar story, with a similar reason why they came to the Czech Republic. Most of the time, it is a love story. It's because the partner is from the Czech Republic. So it was also your case.
That is true. And it had many good sides, but one negative side was I used to work at the Faculty of Law, and my boss was the dean of the tax law and administrative law department, who invited my future wife to come as the first postdoc graduate from the Czech Republic. Well, was it still Czechoslovakia?
It was
still 1993 was the split. It was still Czechoslovakia. She was the first one coming from Czechoslovakia to the University of Heidelberg, to the law faculty. And my job was to take care of her, which I did. And the problem was that my boss found out, and he considered this behavior to be very unprofessional, and fired me.
So he had a different concept of taking care.
Yes, very much so. Maybe I can't even blame him for that. Also, one of his ideas was that he wanted to support foreign students from countries after the opening of the borders, like Czechoslovakia, like Poland, like Hungary, and others. His idea was to educate these people so that they can help establishing and developing their countries after the revolution. And he automatically thought that my wife wanted to stay in Germany instead of going back. That was also one of the motivations. But whatever. As you see, I'm here. And we moved to Prague in that time and started our careers, yes.
Okay. You came here to Prague. You worked in your profession. And then how did it happen that you now have your own law firm?
Honestly, that was a longer way. I started working for the Czech branch of a German law firm. And that, when I started, was a little bit in economic troubles, which was a very demanding situation for me, but also one I liked because I could prove that I'm able to manage something. And since I also studied economy and saw myself from the beginning as an entrepreneur, I took this challenge. As a result, actually managed a turnaround. So it did not close down. And later, a tax firm, an auditing company, a business consultancy, and even an office, a small office in Bratislava, followed. I took over the law firm in Prague, became the only shareholder, and sold this or transferred this this firm, the practice, to one of the largest European law firms, and was a partner there for 4 years. But then actually in 2006, I founded my own law firm having worked at that time already for many years together with Lars Klett, who is a partner in WEPA today as well. You already worked with me in the very first law firm, and then of course also for the large international firm, and we spend a good part of our professional life together. So the reason why this step made sense for me was that, as I mentioned already, I see myself as an entrepreneur, and I like quick and reasonable decisions, and I want decisions to be taken by people who know what they are doing, who know the market, and who know the business of the clients. And this was not always the case in an international environment with, I don't know how many lawyers they had at that time, I think around 3,000 or 4,000.
Yeah, of course, in a big company, everything is slower and you are not directly involved.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so that's the next step. Then you founded WEPA together with Lars Klett, if I understand correctly.
That's correct.
Yes. And so you have this smaller company law firm now in Prague.
And in Bratislava. Yeah.
And in Bratislava, okay. So can you tell us a bit more about WEPA? What makes your law firm unique among others, for example?
Well, I don't know if we are unique. That is something the clients need to...
Well, I think each company is unique because
say?
It's now yours. And
okay, but definitely what our clients benefit from is that quite some of our team members have a large law firm background. They started their careers at large firms. Also, Lars and myself, we learned a lot in the big firms, like, for example, how to draft a proper pitch document, how to take part in a beauty contest and things like that. Beauty contest is what lawyers call when they actually try getting a job and are one of, I don't know, 5 or 10 law firms who send their credentials to a potential future client. That's called a beauty contest.
Oh, how nice. I didn't know that.
And these things we learned, and of course, much more important for the clients is that we are able to structure a transaction and to work with documents like a large international law firm does as well. But since we don't have to finance huge overheads in marketing, in administration, in HR, and so on, we can offer a competitive pricing. Mm-hmm. And that I think is an advantage. And also the entrepreneurial approach. We have a very long-term perspective when we work for a client. So we rather recommend a client not to do or not to realize a certain project or not to enter into a certain transaction instead of telling him, yeah, do that, just because we have dollar signs in our eyes. That's not the style we work. We are interested in long-term relationships, and we have many clients, or I have many clients since over 20 years now.
So you really identify with your clients and you follow them the whole way?
Yes. I think you could say that. And also, you know, each client has his own business or its own business, and knows a lot more about that specific business than we as lawyers do. However, it's a little bit like in a position of a CFO of a company. If you are a financial director, you can also work in different fields of business because many things work in the same way, follow the same principles, relatively independently of the specific business you do. And a little bit similar is our approach. We, after almost 3 decades of experience on the market here, we see in many cases if a certain idea can be realized successfully or not. And we openly say that, which is not always welcome, but, mm-hmm. you know, a lawyer has a free profession, so we don't take orders. We don't only say what others want us to say. We have our own head.
Sounds good. So it means you are not specialized in a certain sector of business. Are you open for every business or are you specialized? Is there any WebPass expertise?
Well, we are not one of the very large firms, but we are also not a small firm. We have a team of 30 approximately, and that means we are medium-sized on the local market. And as a medium-sized law firm, we specialize on business law in its widest sense. And this means a relatively comparable services to other law firms. However, I think we have a special expertise in corporate M&A, also in real estate M&A. Many real estate transactions, most real estate transactions in this country, are undertaken in the form of a share deal, and therefore it has a corporate part. That's why we can talk about an M&A transaction also if real estate is acquired. And in arbitration, litigation, commercial law, yeah, mm-hmm. There we have a special focus. We have no special focus concerning the field of business of our clients. You find a very wide range, many production companies, automotive companies, services, financial services. There's a wide variety of businesses.
You probably cannot name your clients, but would you like to tell us about any exceptional case or any big success, something that you particularly liked or enjoyed?
We work for many well-known companies, which is, by the way, also very nice. And it's a very positive, for us, very positive trend on the market. When I started working here in 1994, large companies automatically were with the largest law firms. That changed significantly. Today, a medium-sized law firm also can work for a global player. Special success. I mean, I was certainly one of my special personal expertises is that I'm often involved in conflicts between shareholders of a company, or in conflicts between the management and the owners of a company, and I try to solve upcoming issues and find solutions in the best interest of all involved parties. That is something I think I have a reputation for. Otherwise, we do arbitration. I've been, and this is of course a highlight in my personal career, I've been involved in many arbitrations, but one I remember, there was a state involved on the one side, and I've been directly named as the chairman of the arbitral tribunal by the president of the ICC in Paris, which was a big honor. And within 9 months, that was the time limit for certain legal reasons. The three arbitrators together were able to solve this case and to issue a verdict which was of very good quality and is still a topic in some discussions at mm-hmm. the ICC in Paris.
Excellent. Now we are still in the COVID pandemic, and I noticed that during the last months there was a great deal of commitment at WebPass to inform clients quickly and competently about all measures, about all restrictions, support programs. In which way did the pandemic have any influence on your business?
If you allow me a little excursion first, I just want to because you brought me to that idea when you mentioned this information we regularly publish and send out to our clients and contacts. Just one comment on this. I was always against such regular information letters, which is something basically everyone does. Every tax advisor, every auditor, every business consultant, every lawyer does. And I was personally of the opinion that no one ever reads it. Only if you don't publish it anymore, then people ask themselves, why did they stop sending it? So I was always against it, but now my colleagues during the pandemic convinced me that it makes sense, and I completely changed my mind because we got many very positive results feedback. Many people even call and say, thank you very much, and can you put me on the list as well? And so this seems to be not only a very good source of information, but also a certain marketing tool. It's appreciated. But now to your question, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Are we time-wise still okay?
I never wrote, but I wanted to mention that I read it.
Okay.
So please go on with you.
The pandemic is, of course, a disaster for all of us. And besides many very serious effects on us humans and tragic results, it also has an economic impact, of course.
On your company as well?
On our company, probably as well. But I must say we have been lucky in 2020. And I honestly think that this was a pure coincidence. We did projects in that year which have not been affected by the pandemic. We did large litigations, arbitrations. We did. There was a big power plant project, which we did for a Czech entrepreneur abroad, not here in the Czech Republic, which had to be finalized. There was no way around it. There were other projects which simply continued. So we have been very lucky, and despite many others. And I cannot blame any colleague for having had the duty to release people at that time. We could keep our team together. No one left in this time due to the pandemic. And the headcount is stable. However, we undertook quick and at an early stage measures and were then able at the end of the year to make everything good again, and no one actually had any disadvantage from that.
Good to hear. We are in the HSD podcast, so of course we are curious to hear about your business connections with Switzerland, with Swiss companies. Do you have any Swiss clients? Do you have experience with Swiss law?
Yes and no. We do have Swiss clients, of course. We have friendly relationships with a couple of business law firms in various regions of Switzerland. But no, we have no experience with Swiss law. And that also would be an issue like it would be for every other law firm in the Czech Republic and elsewhere. We cannot advise on foreign law unless we have lawyers in our team who are qualified Swiss lawyers, which with us is not the case currently. We can advise on Czech law, which is, let's say, 85% of our business, on German law, on Slovak law, and on, of course, also on Austrian law, because we have an Austrian qualified lawyer in our team. I have to say that this is some question which I'm often asked because as I work, as you know, as lawyer confident for the Swiss embassy since...
Exactly, this would have been my next question.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's fine that you start to talk about it because I'm curious what it means that you are serving at the Swiss embassy as a lawyer confident.
Yeah. That is something which I do with it's great fun. I'm very proud that the Swiss Embassy keeps me as their lawyer confident since round about 20 years. I think it's 19 to be exact. But correct me if I'm wrong. You might have done a research and know the figures better. This is an honor for me, I very much like to work with the team of the Swiss Embassy. There are some people I know since many years because they stay. Others change every couple of years, and I've had the pleasure to work with, I think so far I didn't count it, five or six at least
ambassadors,
Swiss ambassadors. and usually have a very good relationship with them. That means when we talk about this position as lawyer confidant that I mainly work for the embassy. So if the embassy has legal issues concerning Czech law, then they usually ask us. That can be labor law cases, that can be rental agreements, rent lease agreements, stuff like that. It also happens that the Swiss government sometimes has questions. Offices of the government need a legal expertise on certain matters. And, of course, also that Swiss citizens call us, contact us, and ask questions that is often related to family law, that is related to inheritance law, which both are fields where we are not really experts in. And if we can't 100% solve a case ourselves, we recommend qualified colleagues in the Czech Republic. We have a good network for fields of law mainly, which we don't practice ourselves. And of course, that happened just, this morning, actually. We referred a Swiss citizen to colleagues in Switzerland because, as it turned out, his question was a question according to be solved according Swiss law and not Czech law. So we haven't been competent in helping him in this case.
Well, I think that's the ideal situation, that they have a contact here, which that is you, and you can then give them the right advice how to proceed and where to find the important information and counseling.
Right.
Andreas, we are coming to the end of our interview. And as always, in the end of my podcasts, I ask my guests a question about Switzerland. So I also ask you, what do you like about Switzerland?
A lot of things, actually. There's no simple answer to this. I even had a great-grandmother who came from Illanz.
From the Graubünden.
Yes, she spoke, how is that in English? Rätoromanian, the fourth language of Switzerland, which is often asked.
Yes, Romansch, Rätoromansch.
Some people don't know that. I've been many times traveling, of course, in Switzerland for business, but also already as a child with my parents. We have been often in Ticino, in Ponte Tresa, which is a village, basically, which has a Swiss and also an Italian part. It's directly on the border at the river Tresa, which leaves the Lago di Lugano there. Beautiful. I like the atmosphere in this Italian-speaking part maybe most, but I also very much like nature. I'm not much a city kind of person, to be honest. I also live here outside the city. And therefore, I love the Swiss mountains. I love the scenic and fantastic railway tracks you find in Switzerland. I have many friends in Switzerland. I'm a passionate scuba diver, which honestly I don't do in cold Swiss waters, but I do dive with Swiss divers. And I like the mentality. I like the fact that Swiss people very often, you are a good example for that, Barbara, speak many languages, sometimes even more than the four or at least three languages many Swiss people speak. I admire that. Fantastic. It's a fantastic country with direct democracy, which works extremely well in Switzerland. Yeah, I admire the country, I must say.
Thank you. Well, thank you for all the publicity for our country. I will invite you again.
Thank you.
Honestly, thank you very much, Andreas, for this interview and for giving us insight into UEPA. I would also like to mention that you and your experts participated in several webinars for HST in the past, and I would like to thank you for this. Of course, it was always also an opportunity to present your law firm, but on the other hand, you gave our members insight into so-called hot topics, and you shared your expertise with them. This is highly appreciated.
Thank you very much.
At this time, I could also mention that one of the tasks of HSD is to help members with their business and problems. And of course, we always try to connect experts from among our members with them. And I think our cooperation is one of the examples how this can work. So thank you very much, Andreas, and see you soon again.
I thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Bye-bye.